A couple of months ago, a client reached out to us and asked us about the possibility of training them in ADA compliance, web accessibility, and email accessibility. Today, this presentation is even, we will focus on email accessibility, but the principles can be applied to any digital platform that you're using to really reach your clients. When we talk about accessibility, we definitely need to start with the problem. And in this world, we actually have a couple problems. But we'll be discussing only one today. And to understand this problem, we need some context. It is estimated that 310 billion emails are sent every single day. Well, if that doesn't shock you, maybe this number should, because this is the problem that we're going to be talking about right now. It is forecasted that more than 90% of the emails companies are sending do not comply with the email accessibility best practices. If you think about it, how many emails are you sending maybe monthly? 90% of them are not compliant. So to fix this problem within your company, you need to answer a couple questions, and we're going to help you with that. The first one is, what really is email accessibility? The second one is, what is the problem we're experiencing and why it should be addressed? The third is, how can I really care about this? And the fourth one, what are the best practices we can follow so we can be the good guys and not the bad guys? Be part of that 10% instead of the 90%. So let's just start with, what is email accessibility? And to really think about this, we need a little bit of history. It all relates to this definition of 88 and WCAG. And in 1990, ADA, that is defined as the Americans with Disabilities Act, was created. Unfortunately, it failed to specify the clear guidelines. Later, it came the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines in order to establish what that ADA really means. And that is exactly what we should be following right now. So one of the accessibility guidelines written was email accessibility, that basically is defined as the right for everybody to receive the digital information in a way that they can consume it. So in other words, everybody just deserves to receive and understand the digital content you are sending that is being sent to them. So what is really the problem here? And we're experiencing a problem, and why this should be addressed. Unfortunately, I believe that we really don't care or don't even know how to make an email accessible for people with disabilities. So many times we're creating half-baked, not useful emails to around 15% of the people in America. If you don't think 15% is a large number, I encourage you to talk to your analytics person on a website and find out what it would be, what it would do in your business if you can increase an open rate or a click rate by just only 5%. According to the World Bank, about 15% of the world's population lives with a disability. Well, what types of disabilities we're talking about that the digital world actually involve? Well, there are neurological. People that maybe have experienced strokes and epilepsy or dementia, Parkinson's, a brain tumor. There are physical, so those who have weaknesses or limitations of the motor control. This could include like tremors, lack of coordination, and paralysis, and joint disorders. There is auditory, those who are deaf or are hard of hearing. There are other ones that are cognitive, so people with mental limitations that affect memory or problem solving, attention or comprehension. There are speech, includes people who are unable to produce a speech that is recognizable by any software. So muteness and stuttering are just two examples of this. There is visual, the most common one. The vision loss or sensitivity to color or brightness. It includes a lot of people just like me that have glasses. For those of you are here, you cannot see me, but then at the same time, you can imagine that. And then there is some other ones that have a short disability, so a temporary impairment, so like broken arms, This sounds silly, but even the missing glasses or slow internet speeds in different countries or different areas in America. Using a mobile phone in the sun, sometimes you cannot even look at it. Watching a video without sound, or using Alexa or Siri right now. And that is 1 billion people. And of those billion people, most of them may use a screen reader to access the web content. These assistive devices, now more than ever, including like a Siri or like an Alexa or like a Google and others, use the page elements to really navigate the web and navigate the email content to read to you, to read that text aloud. So for those living with disabilities, the reality is that accessible content isn't just about convenience. It is about a necessity. It is something that they need. It is something that you need to care about. The reality is that we are talking about something massive. It is the potential to really transform your audience from people feeling alone, from people that they are not care, for businesses that they don't care about this amount of people, to really encourage people that are receiving one of your emails, that they feel important as they are opening their email, they can read, they can see, they can listen to the way that it was intended to be by your graphic designers, to the people that rave and are ambassadors of your brands. So how can I really care about this? How can I really care about this? If you are a business owner, if you are a marketer, if you are a director of marketing in any company, you should be caring about this. And the reality is that accessibility and email accessibility is about more than just avoiding lawsuits or complying with regulations. It is really about helping real people read and interact with your emails. It is about being a better human. At the end of everything, it is that. It is proven that accessible content is more logical, more readable, and generally more usable for everyone. Think of good accessibility as good usability, actually, which means that you can also think it is really good for your business. And if 90% of other organizations are not using this, then maybe this will give you an edge. And you can take advantage of that and come on top of your competitors. So what are really those best practices that we can apply? What are the best practices that we can apply that you can go today and apply to your email, maybe apply even to your website, maybe even apply it to your digital content? And to talk about this, we're going to separate these best practices into the different sections we have on an email. At the same time, if you are on a website or something like that, you can take the principles and apply it to the website too. So let's start with a subject line and preheaders. Our best practice right here is write accessible subject lines and preheaders. Well, your subject lines already is one of the biggest things that you can change that have immediate impact on your open rate and click rate. So your subject line should be brief but descriptive and give subscribers an accurate idea of what is in your email. Effective subject lines aren't just good for accessibility. They also tend to increase just really overall subscriber engagement. I'm a Story Brand Certified Guide, and one of the things that we are constantly reminding our clients is that we need to clarify our message so more customers can engage with you. And we have a saying that really explains the point about the descriptive and accurate, and this is the idea that if you confuse, you lose. If you confuse with your subject line, with your preheader, then we're missing out. Then we're confusing. Then we're losing. First things first, also, maybe some people are asking, hey, what are preheaders? Well, the preheader is the short text or snippet or summary text that directly follows that subject line when an email is previewing an email client. So many desktop, web, and mobile clients will provide them to give them like a recipient a little bit more information before they open the email. Is that line that maybe you see on your mobile that it describes a little bit more about that email? So for those of you guys are watching maybe this specific video, we have an option here to see the pre-header text. Specifically, right here, you can look at this line. Really interesting to know is that, for your information, most spammers do not use pre-headers. So many times when you're trying to even include the pre-headers, you're actually getting ahead of their competition and ahead of the spammers and be like, you know what? I can use the pre-headers, be more clear. It will help me on the long run for accessibility, but then at the same time, it will help you also for open rates. So this is an amazing thing that you can do right away. Let's go with the second best practice. So copy and content. Write copy that is easy to read. You're writing to humans, not to leads, not to agents, not to numbers, not to anybody else. The reality is that you are just writing to humans. And if you're writing to humans, don't make this more complicated than what it needs to be. The reality is that if your content is accessible, it is also much easier for all your subscribers to consume. So let's focus on readability. Stick to writing to an 8th grade reading level, which will allow for around 85% of the general population to easily understand your content. Let's strive for consistency. Use the same terms to describe the same things. For example, if you refer an action to as an edit, don't call it change later in your email. That doesn't make sense. Define, if there is a chance someone who won't know what a word or a phrase means, take the time to define it. Don't use that insider language. So many times people check out because you're using insider language. And just make it easy, a little bit digestible. Write short paragraphs and break up blocks of text with headers and bullet points. And this make content both easier to read and to skim. By the way, that's usually what people are doing. They skim the email, and if they like it, then they will read more. Let's go to the third best practice, and this one is about the layout and the structure of the email. And we need to use structure and semantics appropriately. So how can we do that? Well, we need to maintain a logical reading order. So titles bigger than paragraphs, left to right and top to bottom. What do they really mean? Well, when we are reading and if people are skimming an email, then make your titles what you want them to understand of your email bigger than the paragraphs. Let's make common sense a common practice. Of course, we read here in America left to right, top to bottom. So let's just not put the most important information all the way to the bottom, because maybe people will not go all the way there to read it. When you are creating, this is more for your web developers, when you are creating those emails, use the heading elements in code, H1, H2, H3. This is really important, as the screen readers really take the titles from the code. Kind of another tip around here is that you should only use one H1. If you're using two, you are confusing. But then you can use as many H2 and as many H3 as you want. And if you know about coding, it goes all the way to H6. So an H1, what really means is heading one. There's only one big title, one big idea on that email. The other thing is consider this lecture. Avoid justified content or centered content. About 22 million Americans struggle with some symptoms of dyslexia. So just be mindful that your email content should be as accessible and as impactful as possible. So let Just Develop emails to be left aligned, those large bodies of text, so we can help these fellows too. Let's avoid image-only emails. Sometimes because of design, we think and we believe that it is better just to use a full image in an email. The reality is that if we just use one image, even if we put some alt text inside there, it will never give us the right story for the people that are actually reading this email. Properly format those tables for accessibility. Tables are really common to use for laying out content in an email, but unless they're properly created with the correct HTML, the screen readers are going to really have a difficult time reading them. And maybe they will look good for the person, but they will sound terrible on a screen reader. So for layout tables, there is a really easy fix that is specifying that the table has a role that equals presentation. This tells the screen reader to read the content from top to bottom, left to right. And if the table is actually a data table, it ensures that you include the headers to give the context to the table information. I know this sounds a little bit technical, but then at the same time, it's such a small change that makes a huge difference. If you have never tried this, and I will stop here and let you try this, let your cell phone read you the email. You already have that capability with your cell phone. Let Siri or let Google or let whoever it is read an email that you are receiving. And you really fast will realize that, yeah, it's true. 90% of the emails that we receive are not accessible. And they are not thought the way that it should have thought. The other thing is that we should be caring about the format tables for accessibility. If you are again watching our video, here we have a simple example of how to do that and how to add the role equals presentation attribute. And then if not, we're going to put it on the content notes so you can get a hold of that. Tip number four, we're going to be talking about colors, and we need to use the appropriate color contrast. A 1-to-1 ratio has very little contrast. And if you're looking at the screen, if not, you're going to be looking at a picture here. There is a lot of bad contrast that is going right now on our websites, on our emails, on our call to actions, and really just in everywhere. The reality, what we need to care about here is it legible? Is it something that create that amount of contrast? So there are two things that we need to care about here. Number one is the color ratio. Number two is you need to use large size text or bold to provide that contrast. So here is a little technical, but the idea of the ratio is that if you have 1-to-1 ratio, this means think about the white text on a white background. While if you have a 21:1 has a large contrast, so think about a black text on white background. Well, what we need what the standards of accessibility require, it's a 4.5:1 ratio for a standard size text. So if you look at the screen right here, you can see that the reality is that we have some examples for bad for accessibility and you have some good examples for accessibility and good contrast and what is bad contrast. The trick here is that if you are using text larger than 23 pixels or bold text larger than 18 pixels, then the ratio should be 3:1. So what this really means is that if you are using large size text, then you will be able to actually maybe even have a little bit less than contrast, and still you will be you are following the requirements from the WCAG. But if you are not, if you are using a really small text, then you are always going to have that little contrast. So let's just start using a bolder and a large size text. It is known right now that almost 16 pixels is really what you should start looking into website or email font size. Some people are thinking, are you nuts? It used to be 12. Well, now it is 16. There are so many different people that are experiencing trouble looking at your website because of the font size. So let's take a look at that on your own website. The next tip is about images. And usually, I'll be completely honest, when you think about accessibility, this is probably the first thing you think about. You think about alt text on images. I will tell you a couple tricks and a couple things here that maybe will help you out understand how to use alt text on the images. So the alt text, the reality is that the alt text must describe the meaning, not really describe the image itself. So if the image is really just decorative, like a stock photography, which is almost always decorative, you must include the alt, but just make it blank. This is a really easy indicator to the screen reader that it can just skip mentioning the image because it conveys no information. It is just something that is purely decorative. But if you are using different alt text for each image, even if the images are similar, you need to usually use different alt text. Imagine how confusing it will be for somebody that is using that screen reader if all the pictures sounded exactly the same. That'll be really confusing. Person holding the cell phone. Person holding an iPhone. Person holding an Samsung. And those are purely, probably just decorative, that the screen reader shouldn't even be reading those things. Don't add title text in addition to an alt text. So most screen readers will read both the title text and the alt text, so which doesn't provide an ideal listening experience. And the last thing we should talk about here is that you need to use empty alt text just when appropriate. If your image strictly serves the purpose, a design purpose, like a swirl, a pattern, a shadow, a background, then the alt text may not be necessary. However, we should always add that empty alt so to the image so screen readers know how to skip over it. So examples like a bad alternative text, that's what alt text means, is image of a woman drinking coffee using her smartphone. This doesn't make absolutely any sense. So the alt for that decorative image should be just blank. And a useful alt, for example, it should be for an image with text, it should be introductory mortgage rate of 3.5%. So when people read that, when the screen reader read that, when they are listening to that, it gives them some kind of like, hey, this is almost like a title that I need to pay attention to. So this is really, really important in terms of the email. One of the biggest tricks you can do is actually if you go to your email and when you're creating the email, you can turn off the images. And when you turn off the images, when you're creating this email, then you will be able to see alternative text. And then you will be able to see if it makes sense to put the alternative text or if it doesn't and you just need to leave it blank. The next tip is about typography and font, and we should always be adjusting the typography and use the appropriate font sizes. So what are we looking at here? And again, let's not make it complicated. Let's just choose legible fonts. Not all fonts are created equal. None of them are always really easy to read. Sometimes decorative, quirky, or handwritten fonts are often really challenging for anyone to consume. They look amazing on creativity, but they are not readable. So anything really is smaller than 14 pixels on a desktop or a laptop screen, it will require some effort to read, and we're trying to reduce that. So the text can appear smaller on mobile devices, forcing really users to work harder to read your email. So let's just use media queries to increase the minimum font size from 14 to 16, like I was saying before. We recommend also choosing a line height that is 4 pixels more than your font size. So when you're thinking about this, also the other thing is if you are using, like, for example, a paragraph that it is 16 pixels, like that font size is 16 pixels, let's just use your title should be probably 32, almost like double that, because then you can make a differentiation between the title and then the paragraph. Number two, let's space your fonts appropriately. Even the most legible font can be challenging to read if the letters or the lines of text are too close together. But this means is let's adjust the kerning and leading of your fonts so they're as easy to read as possible. The third thing, we have talked about this a little bit, is just maintaining a logical reading structure. Again, we read from left to right. Before moving to the next line, let's just use this intuitive structure for the best results. Number four, avoid those center-aligned paragraphs. I love to align things in the middle, but then at the same time, this makes it much more complex for people with dyslexia to read center-aligned paragraphs. So even if you think that it looks better, like so many times graphic designers, web developers think, just stick to the left aligning your text. And number five, this is definitely something that I will advocate all the time, is use enough white space. Don't cram all your web design elements, all your email design elements, like images, text, graphics, all those things. Just don't do it too close together. Hey, just add some padding. Allow for that plenty of white space around, so people can easily discern about each of that of the elements of your email or of your website. Here, almost one last thing here is the next tip is about buttons and links, and the idea of create clear calls to action. So let's make links accessible. If someone is colorblind and you distinguish a link from the rest of your text solely using just a color, then they won't be able to tell a difference. So this means that all of your links and calls to action essentially doesn't exist for them. So instead bold or underline your links, or even add a symbol so they stand out a little bit more. So what this really means is, let's not just rely only on color to call out that is a text, that text is a link. There is often many different times we use just read more or learn more or click here. Let's just think about if somebody is talking to you and they tell you right away, hey, read more, you're going to think, read more about what? Why click here? And many content creators are becoming comfortable about really just this. And the reality is that the solution should be, we should name all the links so they are meaningful on their own. So something, for example, read more about how we support our communities. Learn more about our sale items. Click here for locations. Schedule an appointment. These are clear call to actions instead of just a read more, learn more, or click here. That when you are listening to this one, then doesn't make sense. About buttons and links, something that is super, super important is to make them clickable or tapable, like people can tap on this. Apple's iPhone Human Interface Guidelines, that's a big title, but they have some guidelines. They recommend a width and height of at least 44 pixels for buttons. This really number varies depending on the mobile device vendor. But an alternative rule of thumb will be using a minimum width and height of 72 pixels. This is just really the average pixel width of a thumb. So when you're thinking about using your clear calls to actions, I don't know why so many people just do really small buttons. Just make them big, make them noticeable, not only for people that can look at it, but also for people that can tap on it or click on it. Last, I wanted to give you other things to consider, other tips maybe to consider. Consider things like video captions and podcast transcripts. These are really important. So many different people don't actually look at videos with sound. So when you're giving some captions or some podcast transcripts, that can even help you in an SEO. That's super, super a good tip there. Use simple presentation. Let's avoid technical language. Include clear instructions when necessary and steer clear of distracting animation. Let's just use that simple presentation. And I'm not saying just use black and white, but I'm saying just let's make it simple for the user to navigate, to break up into smaller sections. Let's make those paragraphs short, those titles big. The other tip is, let's include options in your email to get in touch beyond just a phone call, like a contact form, like a chat box, or like an email. Think about people that maybe they cannot talk. Maybe they will like a contact form, or maybe they will like that chat box so they can actually type or email somebody instead of just talk to them. And then let's just not forget about a new technology like Alexa, Siri, or even dark mode. There are so many different things that are coming every single day with this. But as more and more of us, we're starting to use that Alexa, Siri, Google to give us the news, to give us the weather, they are going to be starting to look for your business. And they're going to be starting to read your emails. So let's think about them and let's make all these different things that we have been talking about so we can really, really, really help them to do their reading. At the end is all that, to do their reading as easy as possible. And regarding the dark mode, there is all these different now technology companies that are using the dark mode. It helps in terms of readability, but it also helps in terms of, hey, whenever you want to create a little bit more contrast, you can use it. So think about when you're creating emails and things like that, they can be easily transferred to the dark mode. For those of you that have stick so long on this, I have some basic tools that you can use, and we'll be putting the links on all this. But one of the biggest things that you can do is just, hey, understand how a screen reader works. So there's tons of YouTube videos on this. We're going to just post one of them so you can understand how a screen reader works. It will help you better. It will help you to create better emails in the long run. There is an amazing browser extension. We use Chrome for Firefox. Is there too. It's called Wave. And then you can use that Wave browser extension, and then it will be amazing. The other one is use a contrast checker. The WACJ has a contrast checker that is pretty cool, and it will then you don't have to worry about the ratios. You just put your color code right there, and then basically it will tell you, hey, what's the background? And it will tell you, hey, yeah, this is a bad contrast or is a good contrast. And then you go from there, and it's easy and simple. It takes 1 minute. And the last thing is probably the most applicable thing that you can do, and is all these different things that we just share with you are different things to remember, are difficult. The reality is we are not used to this. We start talking, we don't care about these things. So one of the ways that you can care about, one of the ways that you can start doing this is make yourself a checklist of things that you can start doing. Think about progress over perfection. What is something that I can do in the next email? What is something that if I can write it down anytime I'm creating or I'm designing a website, or I'm creating the copy or something like that, what are those things that I really need to hit so I can be as accessible as possible? Well, we're going to put two checklist examples also on the notes, but definitely this is super important here. Just make yourself one and have it open when you're creating things. Then you will not forget about the important things of this. Last thing is I want to set an encouragement here. Paul Erie wrote this quote that I would like you to listen or read it out loud. Paul Erie is one of those big impulsors for accessibility. And he said, "We can implement a level of accessibility if we look beyond the challenges. Focus on what you can do and not what you cannot do." Today, this presentation was a little bit technical, a little bit easy for some of you. Maybe you are not a developer. Maybe you are not a creative. Maybe you're not a copywriter. I'm pretty sure you can find at least one thing that you can do, instead of thinking about what you cannot do. So let's start focusing on what you can do in terms of accessibility instead of what you cannot do. Thank you so much for listening, for watching, or for reading about this. If you have any questions, please let us know. And I appreciate the time that you have spent with us. Again, my name is Oscar from LifeEdge, and I'm happy to discuss more about this on the comment section.